A long time ago, all the houses and the stores and the buildings were made out of wood. If a fire would happen in one of the houses, it was a very big danger for all the houses in the whole town. And sometimes the whole town could burn down from one little fire, because each house was touching the other house, and wood burns, and the fire would spread from one house to the other house. And it had happened that sometimes the whole town could burn up from one little fire. So if there was a fire, everyone would help to put out the fire to make sure that the whole town would not burn down. And they didn't have the big trucks with the big squirt things that they squirt water. They had to go to the river and bring buckets of water and dump it on the fire. One time in a town, a fire started. And people yelled out, "Fire! Fire! Everybody help!" And they had a little horn they used to blow. Doo, doo. And everybody far away would hear that horn. They know that's the fire horn. "Oh no, there's a fire. Let's go help to put it out." And people ran to the river and they brought buckets of water and they started to throw it on the fire. But by this time, the fire was getting bigger and the water they dumped on it didn't put it out. It spread one house, another house, and it was getting out of control. It happened in the Yiddish part of the neighborhood. Now, in the non-Jewish part of the neighborhood, there was a lot of soldiers that were coming through the town. One of the Yidden said, "Look, let's ask the soldiers, they're big and strong, if they will help us put out the fire." They ran out of the Yiddish part of the neighborhood, and they got the soldiers, and the soldiers said, "Okay, we'll help you put out the fire." And their general also came, the general of the army. And the soldiers were running now to the river, and they were carrying big buckets of water. They were big, strong soldiers. And they're dumping it on the fire. But also that was not putting out the fire. The fire was not going out. It was spreading more. And now they see that even the not Jewish part of the town could also burn down. And everybody was getting scared and nervous. What's going to be? All these people are not putting out the fire. All of a sudden somebody said, the great tzaddik, the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe is close by in the next town. The Alter Rebbe is visiting in the next town. We'll run and we'll bring the Alter Rebbe in his wagon, and for sure he'll help us. They went to the next town, they ran, and they brought the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe got out of the wagon, and he had a stick that he used to help him walk, and he came close to the fire. Now, the non-Jewish soldiers saw this old rabbi coming out of a wagon, and they said, "Hey, what's going on? This old man with a white beard and a stick, he's going to put out a fire and all of us soldiers can't do it? What are you making, some kind of a joke? We are strong soldiers. We're running to the river and bringing water. And now you say we can't put it out." One old rabbi with a white beard, he could put out a fire better than us? Let's see how much water he could schlep from the river. The Yidden said, "You don't understand. This is a tzaddik, a halakha tzaddik. We brought him because whatever we're doing can't put out the fire with all the water, with all the buckets. We need a special help from Hashem." The soldier said, "Well, we got to see this. What could happen now? What can put out a fire?" And the Alter Rebbe looked at the fire and he put his head down on the stick like this. He put his arm on the stick and he put his head down. And the soldiers started to laugh. "Look, The rabbi is going to sleep. Now what's he going to do? He's going to sleep on a stick. He can help you? They said, no, the rabbi is not going to sleep on a stick. He's concentrating. He's thinking about Hashem. He's doing something halik. We don't know what he's doing, but he's not going to sleep. And as the Alter Rebbe's head was down on the stick, the fire started to go down, 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 until after a few seconds, less than a minute, the fire went down into the ground and there was no more fire. Completely out. And not with one drop of water. As if something had sucked the fire into the earth and it disappeared. And the soldiers could not believe it. Their eyes were popping out of their heads. Their mouths were open. Their faces were red like tomatoes. Did you see that? They were scratching their head. How did he do that? What happened over here? They never saw such a big miracle like this. And they looked at their general, and the general was smiling, and his face wasn't red like a tomato, and his eyes were not popping out of his head like a frog. And the general said, I think I know why this happened. I don't understand it, but I think I know why this old rabbi was able to do that. He must be a grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov. And the soldier said, the Baal Shem Tov? Who's that? What's that? The general said, the Baal Shem Tov was a great holy man, a great tzaddik, just like this man. Let's go over and ask him if he's a grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov. Now the Yidden that were standing around listened to the general, who was a goy, and he was speaking about the Baal Shem Tov. They never heard a big general, not even a Yid, speaking about the Baal Shem Tov. How does he know about the Baal Shem Tov? How does a goyish general know about the Baal Shem Tov? So the Yidden also went over to the Alter Rebbe. And the Goyim also went over. The soldiers and the general, everybody goes to the Alter Rebbe to see what's going to happen. And the general says, excuse me, Rabbi, are you a grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov? And the Alter Rebbe smiled. He says, my neshama for sure is a grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov. And how do you know about the Baal Shem Tov? The general said, well, I'll tell you a story about the Baal Shem Tov. Now, this is now a story inside of a story. The general is going to tell the Alter Rebbe a story about the Baal Shem Tov. Who is ready to hear now a story inside of a story? So far, you're good. The general starts the story. Now everyone's listening to the story. The Goyim are listening, the Yidden are listening, and the Alter Rebbe is listening. And the general is telling this story. The general says, a long time ago, there was a different general. It wasn't me. This was before my time. He was the general of all the king's armies. And this general one day was called by the king. And the king said to this general, general, take your armies and I'm sending you out to a big war. I'm sending you out to a big war that you are going to have to fight because there's another country that's making a lot of trouble and we have to now start a big, big war and you are going to lead it. You're the general. The general says, King, I'll do whatever you ask, of course, but I want you to know my wife is expecting a baby very soon. I'm going to feel bad that I'm not home when she gives birth to our first child. This is our first child. The king says, well, I know it must be hard for you, but you are the general. and you're the one that has to lead the armies. It could be the war will be over and you'll come home in time for your wife to have the baby. But it could be that you're going to be away a long time. So the best I can do is tell you, write a letter every day or every week. Have your wife write you a letter. And when she has the baby, she'll tell you in a letter what happened. Otherwise, I'm sorry, this is a command. You must listen to your king. And I know it's hard for you, but you must do it. And the general saluted the king, and he says, okay. The general told his wife he has to go out to war. Please, he says to his wife, write me one letter every week and tell me how you are, and then I'll know when you have the baby. And his wife said she'll write a letter every week until she has the baby. She said goodbye to her husband, and her husband now leads the armies out to the war. And now the general goes far away. He's fighting the war with his armies, and the war is going on a long time. He knew he was not going to get home in time for his wife to have the baby. But each week she wrote him a letter. He got the letter. He read it. She told him how she's doing, how she's feeling, what's going on at home. And at least he felt a little bit better. It was getting near the time she was supposed to have the baby. And all of a sudden, he got worried. No letters were coming. The mailman would come out where the armies were staying with the general. He would not have a letter from the general's wife. Another week went by, no letter. Another week went by, no letter. Not even one letter. The general says, where's a letter from my wife already? And the mailman said, I'm sorry, I'm only giving what I have in the bag. If there's nothing in the bag from her, it means she didn't write it, or it means that something else is happening. I don't know, but I don't have any letter. Now, the general was getting very worried. To go home, he can't go home. To stay, of course he has to stay, but there was no such thing as telephones. There was no way to find out how his wife is. He wrote home letters, but he doesn't get anything back. How could he find out what's going on at home with his wife if she's not writing him letters and he can't go home? And it's very far. How could he find out? One day, as he is in his general's tent and he's talking to his officers, they see that the general is very, very sad and very worried. And he told them why. And one of the officers says, General, I have an idea. I was in town yesterday. There's a town close by, and it's got a lot of Jews living there. And there's one Jew living there who's a great rabbi, and they were talking about this great rabbi. His name is the Baal Shem Tov. They said that this great rabbi has a great power, and with this power, this rabbi knows things that other people don't know. They even said he could know things that are happening far away. He can even see things that are happening 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away. And the Jews said this is called Ruach HaKodesh. Now, we don't know what this is. We were just listening to the Jews talking in the town that this great rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov, is a great tzaddik, and he has Ruach HaKodesh, and he can see things on the other end of the world if that's what Hashem wants to show him. Go to this rabbi, or have this rabbi come to you and tell you what's going on with your wife. Maybe he could see what's going on with your wife with this Ruach HaKodesh. And the general said, listen, I don't know if I believe this, but it's worth a try. Bring the Baal Shem Tov to me. The officers went and they found the home of the Baal Shem Tov. They knocked on the door and a servant came to the door and they said, "The general of the armies, of the king's armies, wants to see the Baal Shem Tov. Please ask the Baal Shem Tov to come right now to see the general." The servant went to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was learning Torah. And a few minutes later he came out and he says, "I'm sorry, but the Baal Shem Tov will not go to see the general. If the general would like to see the Baal Shem Tov, the general has to come here to the Baal Shem Tov's house." And the officers went and told the general that. And at first the general got very upset. "I have to go to the house of the rabbi? I'm a great general. This is very upsetting. I asked him to come to me." Well, that's what he said. So the general decided he's going to go to the Baal Shem Tov's house. He went to the Baal Shem Tov's house. The servant let him in. And now the servant said, "Please wait here in the hall. The Baal Shem Tov is down in that room and he's busy learning. As soon as he's done learning, he'll see you." At the end of the hall, the room was open. The Baal Shem Tov was sitting at his desk and he had a sefer of Torah open, a Gemara or a Chumash, whatever he was learning, a big sefer. And he did not even look up. And the general is waiting in the hall, and the Baal Shem Tov is learning, and the Baal Shem Tov is looking down. He didn't even look up. And the general starts to get upset, and he starts to go back and forth in the hall because he's waiting for the Baal Shem Tov. And he starts to get upset. "Why did I come here? Maybe this whole thing is not true with Ruach HaKodesh." On the wall was a mirror. And the general went to look in the mirror to straighten up his tie and straighten up his hat. And he looked in the mirror. At first he saw himself. But then all of a sudden, as he looked in the mirror, a different picture came into the mirror. He saw a town. A picture of a town, just like a picture in the mirror. And the general says, "Hey, that's my town. That's where I live." And the picture changed, and he saw a street with houses and with trees. The general says, "Hey, that's funny. That's my street where I live, back home. What's going on over here?" And the picture changed, and he saw a house, one house. And the general says, "Hey, look, that's my house. That's my house where I live in my town on my street." And the picture changed again and he saw a big room, a big dining room with a table with chairs. "Hey, that's my dining room in my house. I'm looking right now at my own house." And there was a woman sitting at the table. "Hey, that's my wife. Look, that's my wife." She's sitting at the table. Next to her is a little baby. "Hey, look, it's a little baby. I wonder if that's our baby. I wonder if my wife had the baby. I'm going to find out." She took a pen. In those days, it was a feather with ink. She started to write a letter on a paper. And as she was writing, he could read the letter. "Dear husband, I'm sorry I did not write you for a long time. I was very, very weak, and I got very, very sick. The doctor said I have to stay in bed, and I'm not allowed to do anything until I have my baby. I was feeling not good. And I'm sorry I couldn't even write to you. Finally, I had the baby, and we had a baby boy, and he's fine. And this is the first time I have enough koyach to write you a letter. So I wanted you to know the good news, we have a baby boy." And she wrote her name, she folded it up, she put it into an envelope, she put on a stamp. And then the picture disappeared, and he saw the mirror again. He says, "We have a baby boy, and my wife is okay. Everything is fine." All of a sudden he remembered, "Hey, I'm in the rabbi's house. I was looking in the mirror and I saw all of this. I wonder if it's true. Maybe it's not true. But he felt he had his answer. The Baal Shem Tov was still learning. He never looked up, and the general left. And he went back to his armies. And a few days later, the mailman came. General, I have a letter for you. The general got the letter. He opened it up. And it said, "Dear husband, I'm sorry I didn't write you for a long time, but I was weak." And exactly the letter that he saw in the picture. Exactly the same letter. This is the letter that he had in his hand. Now remember, after the fire, the general in the story is telling this story to the Alter Rebbe. Remember? The end of the story is like this. The general says, "In the story I told you about the general and the baby, this general was my father, and the baby was me. My father was the general before, and the woman was my mother, and they told me about when I was born, how the rabbi told my father, the general, not the rabbi told, but how my father went to the Baal Shem Tov's house, and the little baby that was born was me, and when the baby grew up, it became me, the new general. And that's how I know about the Baal Shem Tov, and that's how I knew that the Alter Rebbe must be a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov." Okay, that is a story. Once, Kinalach, there was a bubby, and the bubby had Einik Lach, and the most important thing by the bubby was that the Einik Lach should learn Torah. That was the main thing. Of course, they have to be gesund, and they have to have clothes, and they have to have all the good things that a person should have. But the bubby was a smart bubby, and she knew that the main thing in the life of the Einik Lach was learning Torah. And when they came back from yeshiva, and they came into the house, and bubby was there, she asked them, "Gershon, was hast du hein gelernt?" And Gershon would say over the Gemara and the Chumash and the Mishnayis. And little Chaim would come back and he would say the Pesukim. And he would show Bubby what he learned and tell her a Maise. And Getzler would come home and say over the Mishnayis. And each kid would tell over what he learned. But when it came to little Shmuley, there was a problem. Yes, he could read, Baruch Hashem. And yes, he could daven. Bubby was so proud. And yes, he could learn Chumash. Pretty good. And yes, he could even learn some Mishnayis. But when it came to learning Gemara, Shmuley could not learn. His head was verstopped. He couldn't understand. His Rebbe could explain over and over, and he would get all mixed up and mishkababbled, and he wouldn't understand the Gemara. A very strange thing. He's a very good student. He tries. In Chumash he's good. In behaving he's pretty good. In Mishnayis he's good. But when it comes to Gemara, I've stopped the cup. Did you ever hear of such a thing? He just could not learn Gemara, and Bubby was worried about this. Bubby knew that a boy should be able to learn also Gemara. Bubby knew this. Gemara is a very, very important part of learning for Yeshiva Bachar. And she said Tehillim to Hashem, and she gave tzedakah to Hashem, and she davened to Hashem, "Please Hashem, open Shmuley's head. He should be able to learn. After all, his head is open to other kinds of learning. Why he can't learn Gemara? What's going on? Is something going on that we don't understand over here?" And Bubby davened Hashem. And one day, there came to the town, Kinalach, the great tzaddik, Rabbi Akiba Eger. A very great tzaddik, Rabbi Akiba Eger. He came to the town, And they were saying that people can go, and they can go into his room where he's going to be, and they could see the tzaddik for a second, and maybe even get a bracha. But just to go have a look at the tzaddik was such a big schus, to look on a tzaddik. Or if you're lucky, the tzaddik should look on you. It's very, very a big schus to be able to do this. And so, kinalach, the people of the town were very, very excited to go to see Rabbi Akiba Eger. And they made a big line. And people went. There was a men's line, and they even had a women's line to be able to go past the tzaddik, to be able to see the tzaddik. Now, kinalach, the bubby got in the line. She wanted to see the great tzaddik, Rabbi Akiba Eger. When it came her turn to go past the tzaddik, she couldn't help it. She broke down crying, and she said to the tzaddik, "Mein einikel Shmuli, erken nit lernen Gemara. Please, please give him a bracha. Please help him." And Rabbi Akiba Eger, he looked at the babi, and he says to the babi, "What has the boy been eating? What has the boy been eating? What about the kashrus of the food that the boy has been eating?" And the babi could hardly even move. She was so surprised. But the line was going fast, and she had to leave the room. And she knew that something about what the boy was eating, something was wrong what the boy was eating. Now, kinalach, this is a family that was careful in kashrus. This is a family that was careful everything that came into the house should be only from the best texture, and the flesh, the best shechita. And everything they buy should be carefully, carefully chosen to be only the proper kashrus, and Chalav Yisrael, and the best kind of Chalav Yisrael. And not only that, they had a rule that the kids were not even allowed to eat in somebody else's house. And they were not even allowed to get a snack from somebody else, because maybe the other kids had a snack with a different kind of a heksher that the kids would not, that their son would not use. Maybe the other kid's snack would have a heksher that the family would not use, and sometimes you don't know exactly what it is because it's not in the wrapper. But Rabbi Akiba Eger said something that the boy had eaten. There must be something wrong with the boy, what the boy had eaten. And the bubby starts to check the house, top and bottom, everything, everywhere. And she only finds good things, the heksher's only good things. And they go to the yeshiva, and they look at the yeshiva kitchen, and everything by the yeshiva was also very, very carefully chosen to be the best heksher. And the bubby called in little Shmuli. And the bubby asked little Shmuli, "Shmuli, did you eat something somewhere that you were not allowed to eat? Did you go to somebody else's house and eat something? Did somebody give you a snack and it had something you're not allowed to eat? What is it about what you've been eating, Shmuli? There's something that you've been eating. It must be that you shouldn't have eaten it." And Shmuli looked at Bubby, and he started to cry, "Bubby, one time I ate something that I think maybe that's the thing. Only one time." And Bubby says, "Shmuli, it could be that one time is enough. What is that thing that you ate? After all, the tzaddik Rabbi Akiba Eger said, what about the things you've been eating? If you remember that one time, tell me what it is." Shmuli says, "Bubby, one day I was walking back from yeshiva with my friend. we walked past the place where they have chasanas. And over there was going on a chasana, singing and dancing and lebedik. And they were eating a suda. And I was walking home with one of my friends, and somebody came out from the chasana, singing and dancing, and he sees us boys. And he says, "Boys, come into the chasana and have a piece of chicken. There's so much food here, and it's so lebedik. Come into the chasana, I'll give you a polkala or a flegel. Come to the chasana, have a piece of chicken." And the other boy says, "Yeah, let's go into the chasana and let's dance and have a piece of chicken. I'm hungry." And Shmuley says, "I'm hungry too, but I don't know about this chasana. I wasn't invited. And I don't know about this chicken. My parents are not here. My bubby's not here to tell me if I could eat this chicken or not." And their friend says, "Oh, don't you know? Come on, all the chasanas are here. This is where all the chasanas are. And I'm sure the chicken is good. Come on, let's go have a piece of chicken. It'll only take a few minutes. And it's going to be so much fun. We could dance and we could hear the music and eat chicken." And little Shmuley went along with his friend into the chasana. He just couldn't say no, even though he felt very uncomfortable. And they got a plate with a piece of chicken, with a polkala or a flegala, and the boys ate a piece of chicken. And after Shmuley ate that one piece of chicken, he just wanted to leave. He felt like not good, because he wasn't used to eating something out of his house or something that his mommy didn't give him or his bubby didn't give him. This was the first time. And he felt not good about it. Let's go home. Come on, we ate the piece of chicken. Let's go home. And they left and they went home. And Shmuley didn't tell anyone about it. Until today that bubby asked him, "Shmuley, what did you eat?" And Shmuley remembered that piece of chicken. Even though it was a long time before, he remembered that one piece of chicken.